time for Southeast Dirt Weekly.
The United Dirt.
Hey, welcome back to the this edition of the Southeast Dirt Weekly. Scott, wow, you had a couple of weeks off. I know you're ready to go.
Man, I'm fired up. We have got a heck of a show here tonight, Jack. I tell you, we watched this past week Rich Pratt pick up the win over at East Bay Raceway Park, Scott Thompson Memorial Race, so we're jacked up about that. I'm still pumped up about that, man. It was such a good run for him. But tonight on the show, we're going to have Ivan DeLoyd's going to be on with us, as well as another great youngster, Travis Hardendorf's also going to be on as well.
He just won his first race ever in a feature at East Bay in the late models, didn't he?
Sure did. Yeah, man, he was one pumped up kid, and he deserves it, man. I tell you, he has been working so hard. So we wanted to make sure we had got him on the night. Actually, we're playing a little bit of phone tag, so we're going to try to run him down. See if we can get a hold of them. And then we also ran down my good buddy Jeff Choquette. He's up in North Carolina, and he's up there getting ready for the Pit Stop Challenge. He and his girlfriend are up there, but they're going to take a few minutes out and spend some time with us here on Southeast Dirt Weekly to talk about the run over at Ocala Speedway this past week, and, of course, about what's upcoming for him in the 2008 season. So, once again, great show on hand. First guest, Ivan DeLoyd, is going to be on here with us in just a few minutes, so hang on, kick back, and we'll be right back with more Southeast Dirt Weekly here in just a moment.
Be right back. Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out, UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated at Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated at Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com. At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Welcome back to this edition, May 15th, 2008, this edition of Southeast Dirt Weekly. And I do believe your host, Scott McAllister, has the professor lined up.
The professor on the phone with us, Jack Ivan DeLoyd. Hi, thanks for joining us on Southeast Dirt Weekly tonight, man.
How y'all doing tonight?
Real good. Not as good as you guys. Y'all are getting loaded up and getting ready to head up north. Y'all are making your way up to North Georgia and then to Cleveland, Tennessee for a big race up there. Tell me about what's going on this weekend for you guys.
We got a Southern All-Star race Saturday night at Cleveland, and there's really nothing else going on. Just paid anything before we go. So North Georgia said they'd pay $2,000 to win. I think it's 25 laps, $2,000 to win tomorrow night. So we're going to try and go pick that up on the way. And we kind of thought we were going to be, you know, one of the few that showed up. And now, from what I understand, they'll probably have, you know, 50 cars there for 2,000 to win.
That's nothing new for you guys, though, man. I tell you, you know, this dirt race, and once again, Jack and I talked about this. We kind of equate everything to asphalt racing, which is something that I'm used to. And this is, of course, my first year over to the dirt side. Nothing new for you guys, though, man, to have 50, 60 cars show up at an event like that.
Nah, they pretty good car count, especially in that area. There's a lot of cars in that area, North Georgia and the eastern part of Tennessee. They run, you know, open motors, open tires every weekend at their local track, and they're able to do that because there's just an abundance of cars in that area, and there, you know, some real good cars in that area.
See, Jack, that's what we were talking about when we were talking about Southeast Dirt Weekly. Man, it's all over, not just here in Florida. So, and Ivan, that's one of the reasons we had the show, because just as you said, there's a lot of cars up there in Kentucky, Tennessee, North Georgia, North Alabama that perhaps we don't hear too much about down here.
Yeah, a lot of them guys are, you know, regional racers. They just stay in that area. Very few of them, you know, come this far south. I think you're going to start seeing a few more of them guys come down and run some of the some of Ken Kenny's races and some of the Ray Miller shows. Simply because a lot of them have a spec motor that meet the criteria for down here, and you know they're not going traveling. Diesel fuel prices is hurting us all. But even locally, you know, Cala has been having a good car count. Volusia, I really don't know what's been going on in East Bay. I haven't had a chance to keep up with that. But, you know, even the local car count seems like it's doing pretty well. And just like next weekend with us, you know, we're going to go to Cala on Friday and Volusia on Saturday and, you know, run two weekly shows.
Yeah, see, and that's obviously you just try to do as much as you can in one weekend when you're out on the road. You just try to hit as many as you can like y'all are doing. But I look at your schedule. Has it always been like this, Ivan? Is this your schedule each and every year? Do you hit this many races? Holy smoke, man. Y'all are just night after night, it seems like.
I think in 2004, we upped it to upwards of 45 or 50 races, and then 2005, 2006, I think we did around 50 to 55, and then last year we did 66, and this year we're kind of updating as we're going. Our goal this year is to try and race about 75 times. So I think we're in line to do that, being I think we've already run 25, 26 races already. And yeah, that's our goal, you know, these last couple of years is to run, you know, between 60 and 70 races a year.
Incredible. Like you said, that's got to be tough on a budget with diesel prices being what they are, diesel fuel prices being what they are, and then just prices in general. It's got to be tough on you. But obviously, like I said, it's good to have Ivan show up at the track. And when you show there, man, people are out there gunning for you, man. They know you're coming. They're out gunning for you, and that's got to make it better for you guys.
Yeah, it's cool to know that when you pull up, you know, guys are wanting to outrun you. Just make it a little bit harder to make any money. Fortunately, yeah, I gave up the vision of being a professional race car driver a couple years ago and actually started the business. So I actually do, you know, have a regular job 5 days a week that I'm supposed to be at, and I usually take off on Fridays, end up being 4 days a week. But
I was about to say, yeah, you work. I live right here in Ocala, and of course you do as well, and your business is right here in Ocala. And you just started. You say just started. It's how long you been in business now?
Yeah, I keep saying just started about 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, I thought, man, yeah, it's been
we went at it full time in the machine shop business, which is what I've always done since I've been out of school. Was pretty much working a machine shop. Did a few other things in between. You know, I get burnt out. But I had to pretty much go to work for myself to be gone as much as I am to race. And you know, with my wife, she's an RN and she works some kind of weird hours, but she's very supportive of this. She grew up, you know, around the race, and her brother races locally and builds some motors and stuff. So she likes what I'm doing. She likes to go to some of the bigger races, but we've been talking here last couple of weeks, just the fuel and everything going up, you know, about staying a little bit closer to home.
Got to be brutal. Yeah, and we got to have you down at East Bay, yeah, and the announcer down there. We'd love to have you down there. But tell me about the track here at Ocala. Obviously, you know, that's a big story here this year at Ocala is you know, Mike Peters and Angie Clifton turning the track over to dirt. What do you think about it? Obviously, you like it because you've done well there, but tell me about the track in general and just how you feel about it.
Yeah, I've run second and won a race there the two times I've raced there so far, so it's kind of hard not to like the place. But
yeah.
I think the guy has done an outstanding job. I don't know if he's got all his tricks out of his head or not, but yeah, I really didn't want to see him, you know, have a major screw up on a weekly, on a Saturday night or Friday night from the weather or anything. But
right.
From him coming from the asphalt and the track preparation, you know, is pretty minimal. You basically sweep it, and if there's any oil, you got to get it up. To having to work on the racetrack as much as you do a dirt track, the guy's done an outstanding job. I think he surprised everyone. He definitely surprised me on his dedication. I like the place. I have always liked Ocala. I think it was something challenging to drive. The surface he's put on it, he hit a home run in my book. I'm a big fan of the small, slick racetracks. I don't always run that well on them, but that's always, to me, promotes the best type of racing. I'm better on a bigger, faster racetrack, but...
But enjoy this better, you say?
Yeah, he just... The clay he got, he just hit a home run.
You know, I asked somebody else about that. Tell me about that. I mean, what I'm used to seeing is like at East Bay, it's dark. I mean, it's, you know, dirt looking, and that looks doesn't look the same. Tell me about that type of surface.
Well, when James Powell had the racetrack, they had got some stuff out of the Lime Rock pitches where Mike got his out of the Lime Rock pits. And James had got some stuff similar. James was always a bigger fan of some moisture and, you know, digging the racetrack up and you know, getting the moisture in the racetrack, and we had a lot of traction, but the cars we were racing back then were more of a very limited type of car. That's just the racing that was going on around this area in the southeast. Those cars seemed to, you know, just be popular, and now, you know, we have better race cars. We have, I'm definitely not going to say we got better tires because I don't agree with their tires.
Yeah,
we've got better race cars. We've got better motors. People also have access to information. And the type of clay he's got on that track, I think, just really promotes racing. It's hard to get a good race out of a racetrack that is fast because when they're fast, there's one lane.
That's right.
And with what the surface he's got, you know, with it getting slick the way it is, it makes the drivers have to move around. And I know some of the guys, I know most of the guys that are racing there are not used to racing on that type of surface. But everybody's getting better because of the information you can get about for your cars and people telling you kind of how to drive on them. And I think every week, from what I've been hearing, the racing has been getting better and better each week. I really think the guy is on his way to having one of the, you know, best tracks in the state. You know, Volusia, I can't say I don't like that place either. I've always run well there, and I do have a special place. But my opinion, East Bay and Ocala have always been my two favorite places.
And, well, you know, that's why I'm the luckiest dog in the world, because I get to go to both those places each and every weekend. But you know, and you're right about the racers getting better. You know, you come out there, and these are guys that you've known for a long time. Both Mike Bresnahan, he comes out there, and he won the first time he came out there. What a show he had, and never been on that track before. And then you have some other guys, Rich Pratt doing great out there, and, of course, Wayne Anderson's got him a piece, and he's going to be coming out there as well. So it's really been, I think, kind of an eye-opening experience for a lot of people, and if not an eye-opening experience, some sort of rejuvenation for others.
I think so. All three of them guys, you just said, Rich, Mike, and Wayne, them guys were all successful asphalt racers. They always ran good. They're all three good racers, so naturally they're going to be good on dirt because they're going to put forth the effort.
Exactly.
And, you know, Rich won a race the other night at East Bay. You know, and outrun some good cars down there. Mike went in the first night at Ocala. Wayne didn't get off to, you know, as good a start as anybody expected, and I know he definitely didn't expect to have that happen. But, you know, he will come back, and he will be fast on the dirt.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, it's like you said, it's the effort that you know that they're going to put in. So, well, speaking of effort, I know you guys are busy. You got to head out soon, and like I said, I know you're heading up to North Georgia and then from there to Cleveland, Tennessee for a big race up there. So we'll check in with you when you get back, and look forward to seeing you the following week at Ocala and East Bay, hopefully soon. But y'all stay safe, and good luck to you guys on the road, man.
I appreciate it, and like I say, I'll catch you next weekend at Ocala. Hopefully we'll get to pull, you know, two nights out of it good, and hope we have some good weather. And, you know, Mike's given everybody a good racetrack so far, so I look forward into going out there and, you know, having a good race again. Kind of wish he'd run, you know, a few more bigger races on, you know, weekends I could be here, but unfortunately, you know, our schedule's not letting us do that. But
we're going to try to find something to squeeze in there, that's for sure, because every time you show up, man, the fans come out, they love to support you, they love to see you win, and man, I tell you what, your car is awesome out there at Ocala Speedway, and I'd love to see it over at East Bay, too. Honest to goodness, man, your car hits that back straightaway, and I'm telling you, it hits those bumps, and I know you guys don't like it, but it's the most... Because if you don't lift, man, I mean, that car just starts bouncing down that back straightaway, and he is just faster. That car lifts off the ground, Jack. It is amazing. I mean, it holds that thing to the floor like he does, and it just somehow he keeps it on track. I don't know how he does it. But, it's that 21 car is hooked up.
they're pretty cool to drive sometimes when they get like that. Not, you know, not getting up in the air too bad, but they're pretty cool to drive. And, you know, it's, I come in and my sons are asking me, you know, hey, Dad, you know, front wheels are off the ground. Do you need to work on that? And I'm like, yeah, sometimes we may need to.
Yeah, you know, and that's I always ask everybody that when I first started. I was like, okay, so tell me, is your car faster on four wheels or is it faster on three? And they say, hey, it just depends on the track and how your car's set up. So they said, you know, so I guess it's all just a matter of timing. And that's what I found out on dirt track is, man, that stuff can change in 15 minutes.
Yeah, it is. I think that, you know, you're faster on four. That's why that other tire's on there.
But
yeah, four,
sometimes
it's hard to get them, especially the shape of Ocala, too.
Yeah.
And I think the shape attributes to, you know, the racing. I think the Powell Memorial, he's going to have, you know, if the weather stays like it has been and Mike keeps doing the same thing to the racetrack, I think the Powell Memorial is going to be a hit for everybody. I think it's going to be a hit for the racers, and I think whoever wins that race is going to earn it. And I think Mike's going to have a, you know, do a hit there at the track. I think he's going to have a good car count, a good grandstand. I'm not going to be able to be there, and I'm kind of disappointed in that, but we'd had previous arrangements to go to Eldora for the Dream.
Sometimes that's a pretty good deal there at the Dream, and you know, obviously those plans, it's hard to change that kind of stuff, but hey, it gives us something to look forward to for next year as well. But man, the car count, even without the professor there, is going to be unbelievable. And once again, they're going to have their hands full up in North Georgia and Cleveland, Tennessee, the 21 team on their way. Ivan, thanks for coming on board, man. And like I say, we'll check back with you next week.
Okay, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Cool.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Man, Jack, the professor. That's sweet, man.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Mike Franklin Jr. the other day.
Yeah.
And he said if somebody will come up with a car, he sure would like to drive in the Powell Memorial.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
Mike Franklin Jr. We got to get on Mike a ride then.
That's absolutely. You know, Hollywood knows how to get around on dirt.
Oh, man. If it's got wheels on it, he knows how to get around. Talking about knowing how to get around in the Scott Thompson Memorial race that Rich Pratt won, of course, our good buddy Patrick Williams jumped in a car. Somebody had him a ride up there, and they gave him a car. And although starting on the outside pole, I think he finished sixth or seventh. Man, what a run by Patrick Williams. He had that car dialed in. But really, the performance of the night was Rich Pratt. I mean, dude, there was some stiff, stiff competition out there. And Rich just kept digging and kept digging. I love Rich because, you know, everybody thinks that he rolls in that big hauler, and they think, oh, he's got so much money. Let me tell you what, that boy worked. A race at Ocala, mm-hmm. Did not have a night that he wanted, came back and worked till 4 in the morning on his car, jury-rigged it somehow, came out there and won at East Bay and was so tired he had to park across the street and sleep till the next morning before he went home. He goes, dude, I can't make it home. So he parked across the street at East Bay and slept.
All right.
Was over with and came home.
Mm.
Tough. That's tough, boy, and what a tough field of cars. So big, big good job for Rich Pratt in winning the Scott Thompson Memorial. I mean, it was a big race for those guys, and the place was packed. What a show that Ray Miller and them had, and just I really look forward to seeing them back, and especially for the finale for their season at East Bay Raceway Park.
How many cars did they have there?
I mean, had like 40.
Oh, cool.
44, something like
cool.
44, 45. It was a lot of cars, you know. I mean, they had to. It was a good field of cars, and the cars that were there, I mean, you can never go wrong. You got Jackie and Keith Nosbitt out there, and I mean, those guys knew how to get around. There was a field of cars, and then you put these other guys out there. It was just a great race. And then, as always, just the atmosphere at East Bay is unbelievable. And so it was just a great night. And then the night before at Ocala was spectacular, too. So,
of course, you just had Ray Miller as your single guest on this show a few weeks back.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a pleasure to see him and finally meet him in person there at East Bay. Todd Hutto introduced me to him, and obviously Todd said, man, me and Ray go way back, and they, you know, they do. And it's those kind of relationships that they really mean a lot, especially for my life. And in racing in general, you know, you can tell that Ray's put more than just money into it. I mean, he's put his life into that series. And, you know, you just have to really tip your hat to somebody like that who you can tell he's in it to provide entertainment and a racing outlet for these guys and to keep the series going. And Lord knows, it's been around a long, long time. The series has been around for a long, period of time, and I want to see it around a lot longer because they do a fantastic job.
Yeah, we'll have to maybe hook up with some of these southern guys that are going up there to, besides Ivanhoe, that's going to Eldora for the Dream. That's going to be a big weekend there now.
Yeah, I can't even really imagine that. It really, to me, East Bay, and it may still be because I have friends of mine that say, dude, I don't care where you go, East Bay's the best track in the world, and I don't care at any track you go, but Eldora's got to be something that's really a sight to be seen, and I've yet to see any spectacle like that before, but yeah, I mean, what a place for the professor to go. I mean, if you got to miss the Powell Memorial, I mean, that's probably a pretty good one to miss it for. So
yeah, I talked to Mike Peters, from the owner up at Ocala. I talked to him yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he's excited already. I mean, he's really pumped up about this first dirt Powell Memorial.
He's got to get jacked up now. I mean, he's got to start now because there are that many cars there. I mean, they're going to be, I'm literally kind of worried about how many cars are going to be there for this $5,000 to win show. I think you're going to have literally 60, 70 cars there.
Yeah, I'll tell you who's not worried about it. I know somebody who's not worried about how many cars are going to be there, and that's Ken Kenny.
Yeah, you're right. Ken's not worried. He knows, Ken, Ken has done a fantastic job for the first year that series has been in existence and been going. He's worked really, really hard, and he puts a lot of effort into it as well, just like Ray does. So, can you imagine the Powell Memorial on dirt? Wayne Anderson out there, and he's going to be out there, man, to defend it. You know he is. And so I don't care, no races, one race, three races, brother, he's there to win. So, I don't care if it's on dirt, grease, water. I don't care what, peanut butter. I would not bet against Wayne Anderson. I really wouldn't. So,
yeah, exactly.
Especially there at the Powell Memorial. So it'll be a great show.
You're coming up with Jeff Choquette here in a little bit, huh?
Yeah, we're going to call Jeff. He's up in North Carolina. Said they went up there to watch the pit shootout. What do they call that up there in the NASCAR? The pit challenge. The pit challenge.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to bug him, Darren. Hopefully it's not right in the middle of his dinner, but he said he'd break away for a few minutes. We'll chat with him about what he's got going on up there. Speaking of, that's what the whole deal was. He was digging at Ocala, man. Always thought the first time I've ever seen Jeff on dirt, ever. I've never seen him race on dirt in my life. He came out there, man, started, not near the back, but in the middle. Man, that boy was humping.
Where did he finish? Where did he finish, second or third or something?
I think he finished second or third.
Yeah.
Really, like I said, he wasn't where he finished at. It was how he was driving. I mean, he was putting that car all over the place, totally in control. It looked like it anyway. It looked like it, I say in control, but, I mean, you could tell he was muscling that car. He's just a wheel man. He really is.
Well, just what, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, he was over at Lakeland on the big asphalt track, 3/4 mile, and if it weren't for Timmy Russell, he'd have took that one. He ended up second in that, led a lot of the race, then goes and does it on
him race.
Huh?
He's like I say, he gets on the wheel, man. I mean, he makes it happen.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed watching him out there in the dirt. It was kind of like, oh, man, he ain't been on the dirt in a while, and I really don't know what his dirt schedule is like, but I didn't know. It's like you said, how do you go from racing Lakeland one weekend?
Never
even misses a beat.
Back in January, he won a big late model race down there at Henry County Speedway on dirt. A couple of weeks later, he went up to Lakeland and took on the likes of that NASCAR crazy guy, Kyle, and all them guys, and took that one too. I mean,
It just goes to show you talk about, he is somebody that literally he can go and do anything he wants in the racing business. I think that he could make a strong presence no matter if he decided to go to the dirt side, if he decided to go to NASCAR. I think you could put him in doggone Formula One car. I think you could put him in anything.
And he's definitely multi-talented. I guess we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk to him, huh?
Yeah, we'll give him a buzz.
Car CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Hi, I'm Tyler Ivey, driver of the number 47 car, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated at Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Man, I tell you what, we had a heck of a week this past week. Once again, we saw Rich Pratt win over at East Bay. God, that was a good race over there. Looking back on some of the other action going on around the Southeast, Gulf South Region ASCS, Brandon Berryman picked up his second win, first of the series this year, by topping Saturday night's sixth annual Ronald Lenny Memorial at Houston Raceway Park. Awesome job by those guys over there. I met those guys at Winter Nationals this past year at East Bay, so good job for those guys, and man, you can't say enough about those guys that run that ASDS series. They are just really quick in the teams that they got. The cool part about it is they do all the work themselves, man. They out there just working away on the cars. There's like two or three of them out there, so good for those guys over there. And then, man, the guy that has really been on the move this entire year, Shannon Babb. I tell you what, he has got that machine hooked up. And, of course, picked up a big-time win over at I-70. So, man, you just got to tip your hat to those guys. I know Jack's on the phone. We're trying to run down our good buddy, Jeff Choquette. And like I said, I think we're right in the middle of his entree. So we're going to see if he can stop eating and get on the phone with us here for just a few minutes. But, good amount of racing coming up this week at Ocala and East Bay Raceway Park. Want to make sure you get out there for that. Obviously, you want to make sure you check out funanddirtytravel.com when you're on the internet. Make sure you go out there and check out eastbayraceway park.com and ocalaspeedway.com for all the upcoming information. But man, we got a lot of great racing going on no matter where you are. Of course, around the state here in Florida, and go up to North Florida, and then, of course, like you say, you can always go back over to the asphalt side and make sure you make a stop over at New Smyrna and up at Lake City. And there's a lot of great racing all over the state here in Florida. So,
well, Scotty, you know, I'm sorry. I was just going to tell you, we are having a problem there getting a hold of Jeff. He's either out of range or, like you said, I think you said he might be in the middle of dinner or something.
Well, he's up there in North Carolina. The phone service is shaky up there at best, man. You get up in those mountains. And it gets hard to get by. Or, heck, they could be at the racetrack, as far as I know. Maybe they just can't hear the doggone phone ring. But
yeah, so now this is your first year doing this whole dirt thing.
This is my first, I started out at the beginning of the year for the first time ever on dirt.
And you're about halfway through the year, give or take. Maybe not quite halfway, but what has surprised you so far?
I would say what has surprised me the most is the level of competition on the track and the level of camaraderie off the track. literally at East Bay, I mean, you expect to see these guys, probably this Convair four-cylinder bombers over at East Bay. I mean, do these guys battle? I mean, you think they're going to get out of this race is over and start wailing on one another? They're high-fiving each other. It's the same way with the Ansel Thunderstocks at Ocala. They beat on each other, and I mean beat on each other's car. They get a high-five and, woo, good job, Mama. I mean, they're just, you know, but on the track, it's you know, hardcore. So I think that's the most, but the biggest thing of all is the cost factor. I mean, it's just.
It's a lot cheaper than asphalt.
It's the cost and the time. Yeah, the cost and the time. I mean, it is. As a matter of fact, my good friend Bobby Orr called me a couple weeks ago and said, man, you know, I'm going to get some tire money and this and that. He goes, what do you think I should do? I said, sell it and get a dirt car. No, you know, and it depends on what you like to do. And like I was saying before, I mean to get back over to New Smyrna and watch some asphalt racing this year, and I certainly want to go over to Lakeland and see Billy Martino and the group over there and watch a race there. But, man, there is nothing like. First of all, I had to say this about Ocala Speedway. What a turnaround. Because, Jack, you and I have been there when there are times when there weren't many cars, not only in the pit, there weren't many cars in the stands.
Well, from my perspective, you live there. You live near there. I would only go to Ocala because it's a four-hour ride, three-hour ride, let's say. I would only go there on big events. You know, I mean,
Memorial, Bluegrass.
Big events. And now you look at what they got going on, and a regular Saturday night is one hell of a show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now instead of making your plans about going, oh, man, I got to go to Ocala 3 hours, now you're like, I'm going to Ocala. What else is on the way? You know, because it's like you said, now that is the show. And then y'all kept this other little gem hidden from me all this time. East Bay is, it's done like I said, you could say what's your choice of tracks to go to, anywhere you want to go, and I don't know if I would say anywhere other than East Bay. Other than right here in Ocala, I really enjoy it right here. But East Bay Raceway Park is unlike any place I've ever seen or been to yet. And I've been to a lot of tracks. Been to Talladega, been to Michigan, Pocono, New Hampshire, you know, and Daytona.
Now, one of the things, Scott, that makes East Bay what it is, I mean, there's been a lot of people over the years that have, you know, from the people who built it, the Prevets and all that in the beginning, and of course Stan Kolin was a tremendous influence on the racetrack, and particularly in increasing the size and the scope and the show of the Winter Nationals. But a lot of people have put a lot into it, but you know, you look at those guys who race there, who have been racing there, and their sons and I guess in some cases daughters and cousins who race
exactly
there,
right.
You know, a lot of family race there and have been there a long time, and it's just a lot of tradition, and, you know, I've often said, you know, a lot of tracks, it really does depend on asphalt third rate, it really does depend on who's running the place, and not to take anything at all away from the fine job that Al Varnador and Todd Hutto have done, but I tell you, it almost doesn't matter who runs that place, it's got a life and a breath of its own.
I mean, it's more, and like I said, Todd didn't do a good job, because when you look at them, they look like it's under control, but it's like you say, it's a life, it's an animal to itself, and you got to hang on, and sometimes it just, you think, oh my word, I don't see how this is going to work. Now, I mean, the whole show, but somehow they pull it off, and just like it was meant to be, but man, you just think, God, if one little thing would have went wrong, this whole night would have blown up.
And oh, man.
Look at me and say, yeah, you're right.
You got characters. You got Bubba the Love Sponge and Gene Lasker.
I'm going to have Gene on, too, real soon. I want to have Gene on because, to me, I don't care what anybody says about Gene. He is a show. That boy's a show to him. So, I tell you what, I like to watch him race. I don't care what anybody says. He can wheel a race car.
Yeah.
He may not be Mr. Henny Kid out of the track. I don't care what anybody says.
He's a show.
Dude, he was out there racing that night going so fast that the front wing on his car collapsed. And people, you know, were saying, well, I don't know, that wing's gone. He didn't slow down at all, won the doggone race. So
one night, 6 or 7 years ago, he was under suspension. This was in the Stan Kolin era. And he was under suspension because he's been the perennial quote-unquote bad boy, you know?
Yeah.
And he was in one of those times where he was under suspension, and he was allowed to drive the pace car.
Ooh, see, that's number one.
So our good buddy Rick Angies had the enviable or unenviable opportunity to ride in the pace car with Gene Lasker. You'll have to ask him about it. It was one of those experiences you don't forget.
I'm not sure if I'd have been laughing or crying, to be honest with you, man. You know,
he said he thought he was trying to hit the wall.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it's like I said, I have never seen. I mean, that boy, he is, like you said, he is all out, flat out from the minute. Well, we saw him the first time I saw him race this year, it was at Ocala, and he bicycled the car over there and limped off the track. And then the next night, he was at East Bay and got crunched up over there. He was really limping off the track. And then the next night, next week, I saw him came out there and won the doggone race.
Now, we've been looking at, like, East Bay now. They got the characters, they got the cast of characters, and family members that go a couple of generations here.
How they do.
What about Ocala? Now, you know, that's been through numerous owners, several owners as an asphalt track who actually each one of them played a part again in building the track. Of course, the Armstrongs, I think, put a lot of money into it and the physical plant and the lighting and whatnot and this and that, but... You know, Mike's been, like, actually brought a passion to it that was obviously lacking for as long as I've been involved in stock car racing in Florida. It didn't have that passion until long time ago it did, but it hasn't in the last, you know, until Mike got it.
I think the thing about it, just as you said, Mike, I mean, the track itself, the physical condition of the track was in good condition. I think what it was lacking was somewhat of an identity.
Right.
You know, it's on a Friday night. The only other real track that runs on a Friday, I shouldn't say the only other real track, but the only track that I know of that runs is Orlando Speed World.
Right.
So, you know, it was kind of those two tracks, and, you know, you decided on which one you wanted to go to. And really, like I said, even Dwayne Dempsey, who won over there so many times, I'll tell you, you know, he really didn't like racing there. And you would always see people over there like... Jeremy Gerstner, he was always there. And so now, this track, I think, has gotten a lot of personality. And now, all right, it's gotten a facelift, and now you're seeing that personality really come into it. And when you got people like, first of all, you got people like Patrick Williams, Kevin Durden, they all want to be a part of it. And you know, when those two guys come over, they're bringing a good crowd with them. They're bringing that Archer bunch. So that's a good deal. And now you got Ivan and Lloyd, the professor, who he's going to be there. Well, Lord knows that's a big group right there. And then you got the other guys that are coming up from Tampa. Keith Nosich, we saw him up there. We saw, you know, Josh Peacock up there. So I think it's getting its own identity, too.
Now you have.
I think that after this Powell Memorial, it's going to have an identity.
Now he just brought in, Mike just brought in Billy Osberg for, who was also over at Volusia as the race director and a former flagman over there. Now he's come in as the new race director. How do you see that playing out?
Well, I had the opportunity to meet him while he, you know, I walked in and he was already working, to be honest with you. So literally shook his hands, but I stood, you know, right next to him in the tower. And I have to say it was by far what I would say the smoothest and most, comprehensive night of racing so far at Ocala Speedway. I really tipped my hat to him. He knows what he's doing. Had it all dialed in. Didn't get excited. Didn't get jacked up. There was no screaming. There was no yelling. And I think that calmness, you know, kind of projected itself over the entire race. And then the drivers themselves, because they kind of just fell right in line and did. I think it was the best show of the year so far as the progression of the show goes.
Well, that's cool.
I'm hoping to see him back here this next week, because I'm telling you, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed the racing, and with him there, it was just a part that kind of took care of itself. So
yeah, that young man's
because he was there doing it. Yeah. It was good to have him there.
Yeah, that young man's been on a whirlwind adventure here this year already. I mean, he got rid of everything, quit his job, the whole nine yards, left his status there at Volusia, told everybody at the trackside tonight, the radio show he does on Monday night with Joe Lineberrier and Randy over there. Moved to Tennessee, or where is it, Crossville?
Crossville, yeah.
Yeah, went up there to be a part of that whole deal. Got up there, and the whole thing had fallen apart by the time he got there, or was shortly after.
Yep.
I mean, what a crush. And he came back and, started. He wasn't sure what he was going to do. And
believe me this, if he wants it, he's found a home right here in Ocala.
Well, in short order, he's now back at Volusia, and also he's race directing at two tracks.
He's doing like me. He's doing double duty. He's doing Friday, Saturday show.
But there was a moment in time there where Billy wasn't sure.
He went from nothing to two jobs.
Yeah. He wasn't sure what was going on.
That's a scary chaos. Can you imagine moving from Barberville, from Volusia County Speedway up to Tennessee, and then finding when you get there, oh, by the way, the track's not really going to be going this year. Yeah, that's a bad feeling. But, crazy how things turn out. Like I said, when I saw him there, and after this race was over, I was like, he can't go anywhere. He needs to stay here. No, it was great having him there, and I hold my boxing down for a long time. It's a good show.
One of the things that I saw a report on CNN today about, it was about Florida and tourism and people, traveling and whatnot in Florida. And the numbers are way up, like something like 14% or something on people staying more locally, people not traveling outside of Florida, for instance, and finding places and things to do closer to home. And we've all seen that, I think, in the last 3 or 4 months. And, of course,
Ivan has said he's staying, he's trying to stay a little bit closer to home in his racing, too.
Yeah, and this... this summer is going to be a real test. It might really benefit the local tracks in terms of what they've been doing in the past. Because I was just down in the Keys, Scott, and regular gas was pretty much $3.96, and premium was up $4.22, and diesel was. There was a few places where they didn't even put the sign up to tell you how much the diesel was.
And that's the thing about it. Obviously, down there, I never will forget the first time I went down there. A six pack of beer was like $13, and of course their deal is, well, where else are you gonna go get it? Yeah. So it's like you said. I think that with those costs, and I think you're gonna see the racers staying near home, and I think obviously, like you said, man, driving. Who wants to spend, $600 of their $1,000 are going to take with them on their year vacation or whatever it is? Who wants to use two-thirds of it on fuel?
Yeah.
I mean, that's awful. So, yeah, I mean, I think with that, and it's like I say, and then Mike, it's like at Ocala, Mike's done a heck of a job here locally, and
he has.
Once again, that's the progression. I think when you look at East Bay, East Bay has done that local thing, and now they've stepped up to the national thing with the Winter Nationals. Well, Ocala's Mike has put that time and effort into the local, and now he's ready to get that situated next year. I know he's planning on it. We talked about it. We've talked about it in previous weeks. He's starting to plan for next year already, which is, of course, obviously the thing you have to do. He's looking at next year, but he wants to make sure he gets this part down first. And like I said, he has brought on all the community leaders, all the corporations here in Ocala, and so he's brought everybody in that that is surrounding him right now. And then I think he wants to get something in place, and then he's going to take that next step up too and say, hey, how can I get on this national stage as well? So, and like it's like you said, you heard Ivan say before, Mike's out there doing it all. I mean, he's on the grader. I bet he's on the grader right now. I mean, literally, he's probably out there grading the track.
Well, I'll tell you too. We were just recently up at a few weeks ago for the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series race at North Florida Speedway up there near Lake City, and Phil and Liz Guadagno, they a young couple, t- totally dived in there. I mean, they're just as dedicated as you can find. And you can see that, you know, that's a positive thing for that area as well, because that area particularly is, you know, as our, you know, departed friend Bert Ashelman was always fond of saying, you know, it's really not a lot of money around that part of the world. And in terms of Florida, it's true. It's not a huge economy.
It's not Marco Island, and it's not, you know, it's not the Coral Gables, and, you know, and it is what it is. But like you said, those guys, I was standing next to them. It's like you said, and somebody said, those are the owners. And I said, what, these kids standing next to me? But I said that, and with all respect, they have gone up there and done a tremendous job. And from, like you said, from I didn't even know that track existed until today. Yeah, they've done a fantastic job.
Yeah, and a lot of enthusiasm. The place is a far cry better off as physically than it was before. And so that's
I didn't even know it was there. And yeah. I worked in Lake City. I didn't even know that track existed.
Yeah.
Swear to goodness, somebody said North Florida. I said, "What do you mean North Florida? You mean like Lake City?" And they, you know, they had something. There's a dirt track there. And already, Tim Lake took me over there one time. He goes, "No, this is the thing." We looked at it and we were racing.
Oh, that's right. You went over there for one of those rainouts.
Yep, sure did. And we drove over there, and I was like, "Look at all these cars over here, and look at all these people." So, and that's the night he told me, "Yeah, man, the owners here are really young, and you know, usually track owners are a little bit older." Dean and I. Just kidding. But, you know, it was, when I stood there next to them, I was like, man, these are like little kids. But they brought that youthful enthusiasm in there, and you can tell.
Have you paid much attention to the goings-on over at Putnam County Speedway, the other dirt track over on the eastern part of the state of Florida?
The last I dealt with it was when Stan, what Stan did I know that owned it? Leased it.
Well,
Who was it last year that had it open for a bit?
Yeah, well, I don't remember the man's name, but now they've got the a little group of drivers that have kind of taken it over, and a whole new experiment there.
You know, the cool thing I liked about the track was, well, I saw it when the owner, I don't remember his name, it's killing me now. When I first got there, I was like, oh my god, I mean, the stands were kind of dilapidated and kind of nasty, but in about 3 weeks after going there, they had it looking really, really nice. And then I saw them driving around it. The track itself looks like it's in good condition when I saw it last. But I say, hey, if you can get a co-op of drivers that are willing to put their time and effort in, more power to them, man. I mean, you talk about that place is kind of secluded away over there too. So,
yeah,
if they can get the fans in there, that's great for them, because that's also a place like Lake City, perhaps not the most affluent.
Yeah, and they're going to have
places
to get. It would seem to me, from the little I know about the area over there, the one thing I remarked about all the time after I'd been there the very first time was like, there's no easy way to get there, and that would be for somebody like myself who's used to getting around Florida on the major interstates, you know?
Right.
There's no easy way to get there, and looking at that now, you'd have to think they got to pull fans from the local area big time. I mean, they really got to go out and get the fans locally to come check it out.
And that's there, and there within lies the issue of, you know, fans have had their spirits lifted, and then jerked away. Lifted and then jerked away with people trying to get that track going for one reason or the other, not able to keep it. So, a little standoffish, but if they can just have somebody stay behind it. You know, it's like you said, and there is more over there. But when, you know, what I remember, Georgia Pacific, and then after that, it was like not much else. There is more over there. And it's like you said, that's the job of the owner and the promoter is to get out there and find out what's out there and help promote it and bring it to the racetrack and say, you know, here's a way we can not only bring great racing to the fans in this area, but promote your business, bring you money.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's the main thing that they want to do there. So hopefully they'll be able to find somebody that can head that up for them as well.
And down at
keep the track going.
Yeah. Now, down on the other end of the state, on the south end, probably what may be the southernmost, so maybe somebody in Texas will take exception to it. But if I'm not mistaken, Henry County – Speedway is the most southern racetrack in the United States, but it's down there south of Lake Okeechobee, and it's on a small piece of property. Have you been there?
I've never been there.
It's on a small piece of property, so the parking, you pull in there and you go, okay, where's the parking? Oh, this is the parking. other than that, I mean, the layout of the track and the whole thing was I was pretty surprised by it. It was a lot better than I thought than I had expected after, you know, having only been told about it over the years. And that's another place, midway between Naples, Florida, which is, you know, of course,
and then
on the other side, about equal distance between there and Palm Beach and the east coast of Florida, where there is just no place to go see local short track racing, asphalt or dirt.
Yeah, I would say probably those places, like you said, like Coral Gables and those like probably don't lend themselves to great racing, auto racing.
Well, they used to a long time ago, Scott. And when I was there, when I was at Henry County, I was just walking around talking to fans randomly, and there was about half of the people that I talked to came from one coast, and about half came from the other. So that's another place where dirt racing can certainly flourish if they can just figure out a little program to get the right cars racing and put on a little bit of a show on a regular basis.
And you know, I this is Southeast Dirt Weekly, but I can't let this go. And I looked at the schedule, the United Dirt Late Model Ken Kenny Series. They are going to be running down at Punta Gorda. Is that right?
That's right. It's still on the schedule. There has been some bubblings, but as of right now, it's still a go. Last time I talked to Ken about it was about 2 weeks ago, and I talked to Bobby Deal about it about a week ago, and it's still a go. And yeah,
it's like the Sarah deal, we
it's exactly. And the thing is that can you imagine now if they can get the cars, and that's the key, you know, because it could be a bit of adventure on that asphalt,
that little flat track, man. And these cars up there, these guys. I'm interested to hear how that goes down.
What a promotional tool.
What a great deal. Like I said, my question is, are you going to have the regulars from over there, Randy Fox, Mike Franklin, and the boys jumping on the track with John Smith and Keith Nosvich and all those guys?
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
They're going to run.
I don't know if they're going to have that or not. You know, I don't know if any of those guys are going to step up there.
It's the United Dirt Lake. Okay, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, because, yeah, they got to race a dirt late model.
Yeah, I guess you can't run those two together, but.
Yeah. What a yeah! I mean, if they could get 30 cars to show up for that event, it is going to be one heck of a show.
Well, if he could get them down there, Bobby Deal's the one that could do it. Somehow he's able to reel them in down there. He's done a good job. You know, you look at these tracks and the people that have really worked hard at it, and it's just like the guys down at Auburndale. Boy, you know, you can tell they're trying hard, because that track, when I first went there, Auburndale was a great place to go watch a race. Kind of went a little bit backwards, in my opinion. And now, all of a sudden, I'm hearing great reports about Auburndale again. So, you know, you can tell the people that are really putting the effort into the track, and whether it be asphalt or dirt. You know, if you put the time and effort in, you're gonna see some. You know, you're gonna reap some rewards in it. And you know, if you're a business owner, man, it's a great time to try to hook up with one of those tracks, because I know at East Bay and Ocala, you talk about bang for your buck as far as advertising goes. Well, dude, there's just no better. I mean, you're talking the most, you know, targeted group that you can find, and you got them held captive in this place for 3 or 4 hours. So if you're a business in that area, just like over at Putnam, and you see those guys come around, this is an opportunity for you to not, hey, it's not just about helping these guys out of the racetrack. That's a cool thing. The other part about it is no, man, think of a good idea that's going to help promote your business, bring people in, and put your business out in front of them face-to-face, and that's where it's at. So hopefully those guys will see it. But just like you said, North Florida,
that's the kind of effort you got to put in.
Yep.
Ocala Speedway, that's what I'm talking about. You know, Bobby Deal, that's the kind of effort that you got to put into it.
Well, Scott, we're coming up on the end of the hour for this show, but you know, Scott, over the next several months, I guess you're going to have some of the promoters from Georgia, some of the Georgia dirt tracks, and some of the stars of some of the bigger racing series dirt that race around the southeastern United States.
Earlier this week, and obviously he's just got covered. I talked about him earlier. We're going to have Shannon Babb on the show. Shannon Babb is doing an awesome job at the United Dirt Late Model Series, and man, these past couple, 3 or 4 weeks, this past month, he has been killing them.
And
we'll be looking to having him on, as well as Billy Moyer, Scott Bloomquist, and some of the guys, Earl Pearson Jr. But you know, and yeah, some of the tracks up there too. It's just like we were talking about earlier, man. I want to have this guy from Screven on. I want to have the guy from, you know, Oglethorpe on. I want to have some of these people that I haven't had a chance to go to their racetrack, but I've heard so much about them, especially from people like when you hear Ivan and Lloyd going, "Yeah, man, Screven was cool." Then heck, man, I want to hear about it. You know, so. I know they're having some big races up in Kentucky this weekend. So that's what we're going to look to do, is expand a little bit further while still maintaining our presence here in Florida. But, man, it's just like you said, Ivan is on his way up north right now. He's, you know, there's just a lot of places to talk about. When you talk about great promotion, these guys seem to have been doing it all along, perhaps. Maybe now we're just noticing it, but they've done a fantastic job, obviously, across the country, especially here in the Southeast.
Sounds good, man.
All right, Jack. Well, once again, thanks for coming back, man. We're getting ready to pick up this Thursday. I should say Friday, Saturday night. Of course, tomorrow night, Ocala Speedway. Make sure you're out there for that. Make sure you get there early, man. I've been having to park way out in the boonies every single time, so make sure you get there early to Ocala Speedway. And, of course, this Saturday night, Armed Forces Night at Ocala Speedway. Come out and celebrate with everybody in the military. And we look forward to seeing you at both those tracks. And we look forward to hearing you back here, having you back here next week, Thursday night, for some more Southeast Dirt Weekly. Jack, thanks for having me back. And we'll see you back next Thursday, man.
Later.
All right.